Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. So sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now and visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. And we're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head over to PropSwap.com and download the PropSwap app today. And we're also brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a free-to-play app that lets you bet on all your favorite NFL player props for a chance to win awesome prizes. Download the app over at BetterFantasy.com/SGPN. That's BetterFantasy.com/SGPN. And we're also brought to you by Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-belt grooming. Head over to Manscaped.com and use promo code SGP for 20% off your order and free shipping. And SoBet, sign up to bet against your friends to join the social betting revolution at SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SoBet.io/SGPN. And, of course, do not forget to download the SGPN app, your home for all of your favorite free picks and podcasts. All right, welcome back, D-Gens, for a quick recap slash funeral for the Amex and a look into Pinehurst Farmers this week. It's your boy, Boston Capper, with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. Steve, how you doing, baby?
I mean, I've been better.
I know.
That was my worst week since, I think, the Scottish last year. When we got really cute, and we're like, we're not going to do John Deere, we're going to do Scottish Open. We got just murdered, but because we bet on Euros, we just had never seen a shot before.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
I got
annihilated this week. Seamus Power went full Tommy Fleetwood on me.
We'll save him. But yeah, that was bloody. all my pre-tournament calls were dead. I mean, I guess KH Lee had a good day one that got me excited, but he sucked the rest of the time. He cost me some money. He couldn't even get a top 40 out of that. That sucked.
Oh, yeah, I know. I actually looked at that late, and I was like, oh, how did he come in 64th? Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, Christ. he was bad. Having our football bets on John Rahm did not work out.
Dude, I had a huge amount of money, like multiple football bets for the top European.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Frankie Molinari did you in.
Yeah, he body bagged me. And so did something called Paul Barjon. So whatever.
Yeah, he's a talented Frenchman from
fuck that guy.
The Corn Ferry Tour. Okay. All right. But no, I mean, like, so I went back through my spreadsheets and I was like, all right, did I miss anything? And I don't know. Like, I mean, so if you don't know what happened, Hudson Swafford won. I had the tournament on in the background. I wasn't really paying too much attention. And if you missed it, you didn't really miss much. He was kind of a snoozer. Although Swafford, like, he put everybody away. I think he went, like, birdie, eagle, birdie to, you know, just close it there. So, but I looked at, like, what he was been doing. And, I mean, other than the fact that he's a former winner, like, his overall ball striking stats are good, but it's old. And he didn't do anything of note last week.
Nope. We were on him last week, or at least I was on him on DFS.
I think for like maybe a top 40 or something.
Yeah, I was on him on DFS. Yeah.
And, then like you look at, I don't know, like Frankie Molinari. Like this is his first start.
I was all over Frankie this week. I was fine with that.
Like, all right, well, there you go. Tom Hoagie, I mean, I guess that's one I missed. Lanto,
you were on him last week. You were high on Hoagie last week.
Yeah, I know. So
we're doing that again.
Yeah. Okay. So I got bet everybody. I bet last week at Torrey. That'll probably work out great. I mean, Denny McCarthy. I don't know. I bet him live at 80-1. He made a little bit of a good number today. Lanto, he had a couple of good finishes last fall, but did nothing last week. Brian Harman had basically been doing nothing. His ball strike was awful, but I mean, he just putted his way to a good finish. I don't know. Like, it seems like it's like this every single year with the Amex. Just, yeah, like,
whatever.
And I mean, a lot of my picks too were just, they were too cute. They were, it was kind of the obvious plays. And of course it blew up my face. So I don't know. It is what it is. You know, why don't we take a little break and then we'll do a quick DFS ownership and then we'll bury this tournament once and for all.
That's right. Bury the football like the Patriots should have after that playoff loss. So listen, if you guys are ready to win money and boost your odds, WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. And we're bringing the excitement of the Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports from the NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. And WynnBET also has some brand new bonuses. Bet $5 to win $400. And make sure to check out all of WynnBET's build your own boosted game, same game parlays headed into the NFL divisional round weekend. Most boosts fall between 10 and 15% of the original price. I guess that's the championship weekend based on when we're recording. So listen, but great promo groups, odds and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win. So if you're ready to play, go sign up today and receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WYNNBET.com.
Okay, let's quickly run through DFS ownership. So $10,000. Most popular player is John Rahm at about 35% ownership. You know, congrats if you took him. Really didn't do anything.
He missed so many putts on Saturday, and then today he was just nothing.
Yeah, 31st in DraftKings scoring. We're going to have a guest tomorrow night on the podcast who has a lot to say about John Rahm. He doesn't hate John Rahm.
He hates John Rahm.
Okay. He hates him. He can explain himself to you tomorrow night. I had a very long conversation with him about it. Went from not a long conversation. He sent a giant rant text message that I sent a giant rant text message back, and we can take that conversation a lot of different ways. We'll save John Rahm talk till tomorrow. How about that? Because he's going to be the talk of the tournament again. KLA.
Oh, because you missed it. You're not on social media. They got him walking off the course. Cussing about like a Mickey Mouse bullshit setup and turning it into a button contest.
Well, he's right.
I know he is, but that's right. Everybody who hates John Rahm on Twitter is like,
this is arguably the most Mickey Mouse tournament there is. This should be a fall event. I'm just going to say it right now. This should be a fall event. There's no reason this shit thing should be like in January. All right. Enough with my hate about the Amex. Patrick Cantlay is fine. He's ninth in DraftKings scoring, but I think that's pretty disappointing considering how he started.
Yeah. Dude.
Not great, Bob.
Bob.
Ninth and see a lot of scrubs kind of pass him on the leaderboard. Scottie Scheffler rallied today. He was 16th in scoring. Otherwise, though, I don't even think he was ever really on the telecast.
He was in a feature group on Saturday.
Was he in a feature group?
Yeah. It was Cantlay and him. It was Cantlay and him or Rahm.
I didn't watch anything yesterday. So, and then Finau again did nothing. Like, just
nothing.
Like, he made the cut, 40th in scoring. But
somehow he made a charge on Saturday to make the cut.
Yeah. But again, just like this is like, when's the last time Finau actually did something? It's been a while. Yeah.
It's been a minute since he won.
So,
Cam Smith broke our hearts.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, Finau, we'll talk about him a little later. He's going to come to a place where he has a lot of success at. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe that's got to wake him up. If not, though, we'll see. $9,000 range. Most popular player was Matthew Wolf, and the mush was right. He was mush.
Yeah. Yep. That's it. We cannot go against it anymore.
I know. Well, I mean, so it kind of played out exactly how Matthew Wolf does this tournament. He was awful at the stadium course. And then he was great at La Quinta, which, thank you. I bet on Matthew Wolf to actually win a matchup that day, and he did. I actually went 5-0 on Friday matchups. That helped me recover a little bit. Other than that, though, we'll get to another matchup that turned into a total disaster shortly. My biggest disappointment of the week, Corey Connors. I had a lot of high hopes for him. I had drawn some connections of like overseeded places and Pete Dye. I'm like, all right. I kind of sold the narrative. Like, you know, I know he's been bad this tournament. Maybe he's a different player. Nope. He stunk. I mean, he made a charge to the cut line, but he didn't get there. Taylor Gooch, also a big disappointment. He didn't do anything.
Thank you.
This was put up or shut up week for Abe Anser, and it's shut up week. It was awful. He was bad. So I think it's time. Let's put him in the corner for a little bit. Yep. You know, some bright spots. Sung J.M. made a nice charge today. Cash a big top 20 bet. One of the few bets I cashed this week. Thank you, Sung J. Will Zalatoris, he made a nice charge. I'm going to make a prediction. He is going to be the most popular outright next week at Torrey Pines.
That makes sense. People long, are going to long off the tee, good with long irons, can't putt.
Yeah, like, people are going to want to be first on him, and he is going to be the pick.
Yeah, but if they hang a decent number at him, why not?
I don't think it's going to be a decent number.
No, they
we'll bet you, although you know what, there's a lot of good guys.
There's a lot of good guys. I bet you get them. I'll get you, but it'll be 35-1 or lower, or higher rather.
If it's 40 or more, I might bite.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Let's get to Seamus Power real quick. So you had him pre-tournament, and it was looking good. I jumped on him at 41-1 on Friday. Yeah, I felt real good when he was two back.
Yeah.
And I also felt real good that I had a Seamus Power over Russell Henley head-to-head, and Seamus was up 7 going in today. And that lead was not only completely gone, he was down by 2 before he got to the 7th hole.
Yeah.
That's the cherry on top of this. This shit storm Sunday.
And so I didn't double dip when you posted that, just because I was like, all right, that's Seamus on the stadium course on Sunday. I was like, I didn't feel it. Like, I was fine. I was like, okay, whatever. I have a live dog. Like, it feels good. And then literally double bogeyed the first hole. And I was like, yep, there we go. That's why I didn't double down.
No, that was bad. Now, I mean, Seamus ended up clawing back to tie that matchup, which was fine, but. Not what I was looking for.
No.
I guess Russell Henley, who's fine. Just fine. So, let's move on. AK range, most popular guys yet. Luke List, Justin Rose, Christian Bazin, who they were okay. I mean, they all finished top 40 in DraftKings scoring. Nothing really of note. Siwoo Kim made a nice run today.
He did.
But he did, of course, Siwoo things. He put one in the water on 17. Thankfully, he did that this year, not last year. That would have been, I would have threw a remote control through my TV.
Dude, I almost live bet him today. And I was like, don't be stupid, Chris. You've already lost enough money on football on Saturday. Don't be dumb.
I looked at the odds board. People were in the section like, hey, like, do you guys got to lean anybody? I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm done shoveling money into this.
Yep. I'm licking my wounds. I'm taking my bean and calling it a day.
Let's move on. Other than that, though, I mean, Johnny Vegas, your boy, was bad.
Real bad.
Patrick Reed made a nice charge to make the cut,
He sucked.
Nothing. Ricky sucked. Tringali sucked.
Well, thank God we got to see Ricky and fucking Phil on the marquee group matchups. Good God, man.
Were they like plus like 10 combined?
Oh, easy.
You're bad. Norin, one of my better calls of the week. I said Norin was a loser pick. That turned out to be a loser pick. All right. 7K range. The guy you were really high on was most popular, Michael Thompson. He sucked.
That was so bad.
Yep. I should stay away from Adam Hadwin. Like, he was 37th in scoring. He was fine. Like, he ended up actually cashing a top 30 for me, but like, I don't know. That's a loser pick. I'm better than that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hayden Buckley, though, it's your fault, community. It's your fault.
I told you.
Y'all jumped on him.
I told you.
I know. I'm not thrilled about it. I'm not. And I think he was like 2 under after day one. I'm like, wow, this isn't going to go well. I mean, the 7K range, like, it's either okay or just bombs. Like, Thompson is a bomb. Buckley bombed.
It was like 50 guys in the 7K range.
Phil somehow had like 9 to 10% ownership. That's not very good. Russell Knox bombed. Chris Kirk bombed. Sebastian Munoz, your boy, he bombed.
Oh, fuck him. He killed me.
I mean,
I don't know how I talk myself into
it. But there was a nice
how I talk myself into it.
But around 5%, though, there was a run of Andrew Putnam, 17th in DraftKings scoring, 5.5%. Tom Hoagie, 5.1%, 3rd in DraftKings scoring. Lanto Griffin, 4.5%, 4th in scoring. Brian Harman, 4.5%, 2nd scoring. Danny McCarthy, 4.5%, 6th in scoring. So, congratulations if you just had 5 of your 6 guys be those guys. You're better at this than we are.
Exactly.
And then under 7, I mean, you know, Hudson Swafford, 4.4%. He's 1st in scoring. The most popular guy was Davis Riley, 6%. I mean, it seemed like everybody congregated in the 7s and up top. and just kind of skipped pretty much the $8,000 range and skipped the sixes. No one really wanted to dip below seven this week, which, and I mean, listen, we all paid a price. So
I had plenty of guys in the sixes. I just picked the wrong fucking ones.
I know. So
although Bramlett looked good for me for a little bit.
I texted you
Thursday morning. I was like, Bramlett or like, I don't remember who the fuck
I guess I think.
Was. And you said cyanide.
Well, I wish I took cyanide for watching this tournament.
That was one of the better closing thoughts.
I think next year, I mean, we're not actually going to do this, but maybe we just cover the Abu Dhabi because
I say we do that.
Because I guarantee you, if we covered the Abu Dhabi, you would have bet Thomas Peters and you would have won.
Yeah.
Your boy came through. He looked great today.
He did. He looked real good. And then you're on social media. You missed it. He was laying on his golf bag, like waiting for something to happen. And he was talking shit to somebody and he flipped him off and it's all over the place. And I was like, oh my God, I love him so much. Oh yeah.
Well, good for him. No, I think he hit like 16 of 18 greens in regulation today. He shot even par, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's par, all he needed.
Par is way to a win. Whatever.
Did you watch any of that coverage?
I watched some of the recap this morning.
It's a good golf course.
Yeah, it really is.
Really enjoyed it. Yep. Yeah. I mean, I thought, well, your boy Terrell Hatton did not come across very well. Did you see what he said about the 18th hole?
No.
He was complaining that there's a bunker in the middle of the fairway. He said that shouldn't be there. And he complained that the hole was too long and that on a par five, I should be able to get there in two. Not a good look for Terrell.
Whatever. I love Hatton. I don't give a shit. You watched that video that they posted in the Slack channel, right? With the one yard drive.
Oh yeah.
How can you not love him after that? Get in there. Like, go. I know I'm behind you.
But. Yeah, you are. That happened about 3 minutes ago with me. Yeah. Chiefs had a big play. So there you go. All right. Why don't we put this tournament to bed? Why don't we talk about the Farmers Insurance Open? So great field.
Studs.
Yeah, it's stacked. This is a much better field than last week.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised that a lot of guys are playing the Bonesaw are here, and then they're going to fly over to Saudi Arabia. So, like, DJ's here, Bryson's here, mm-hmm. Xander's here. A lot of guys playing over in Saudi Arabia. Here.
Xander's playing the Bonesaw?
He is.
I thought he was the wholesome All-American guy who nobody can root against.
I know. Why don't you take that with Jeff Nagel?
I think I shall.
Yeah. Yeah, even Xander can be bought. I mean, there's those guys. Brooks is in the field. Is Brooks playing Saudi?
I don't know.
I don't know. All right. Patrick Reed's playing Saudi. He's a defending champion.
Of course he is. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, everyone's just going to want to talk about John Rahm this week again. You know, people are going to forget about what happened last week. They're just going to say, all right, well, Rahm is awesome at Torrey Pines. He's won here before. He got engaged here. He won the U.S. Open there. I'm going to guess that Rahm is probably 10-1 again this week, despite the really strong field. And I'm going to guess you're going to football bet it anyways.
No, he's unbettable. I know. He's unbettable.
Oh, wow. Okay.
At that number with this field, he's unbettable. I did it on the U.S. Open because I had such a strong gut feeling. He just got fucked over. You know what I mean? Like, he was going to run away from that tournament. I don't feel the same. Irons looked a little loose. He was burning edges all weekend. I don't know. Listen, he's not a bad play, but he's not 10-1.
We're going to have a conversation about Rahm tomorrow. I think he's regressing back to his mean.
Maybe.
Yeah. So, and then we got the guy who probably should have won the U.S. Open last year, Bryson. Mm. And I mean, we've talked about this a couple of times before. Bryson had that tournament won. I mean, he was, I think he had a one shot lead heading to the back nine. He had two par fives ahead of him. He could have stomped it out. And then I think he went plus four across holes 11 through 13 and it was over. It's like that. So, you know, he's back.
But that's what
here.
He does.
I know that is what
you
he
can't
does.
Discount. You can't discount it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can't be like, well, he should have won it, but he did this. Well, yeah, but he does shit like that all the time.
I know. I mean, well, his recent track record. Yeah. Like U.S. Open, he did that. He did that at the FedEx St. Jude. I mean, he didn't really do it.
Was that the one? Which is the one where he hit it in that fucking guy's yard in the fence and he tried to say he should have got a drop or whatever.
Oh, I think he's done that a couple times, actually. I think he did that at the Memorial a couple of years ago, and he did that, I think, at the FedEx. But I think he actually did get relief last year from the FedEx.
Yeah, it's not the one where he got relief.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. We'll talk about just this what works at Torrey Pines. I don't know if Bryson works at Torrey Pines. The more I think about it, I don't know if he works there. So, all right, why don't we take another break, and then we'll start breaking down Torrey Pines.
All right. Well, listen, support the Golf Gambling Podcast by going to Manscaped. Who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming? Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the ultimate men's hygiene bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and a free worldwide shipping code SGP at manscaped.com. If my math is correct, that's about 8 million balls. The Performance Package 4.0 by Manscaped has arrived, and oh man, is it a game changer. Inside this package, you'll find their lawnmower 4.0, weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. Looking at Steve on YouTube, he could use that. Crop preserver ball deodorant, crop reviver toner. What's that? All right. Performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies. First off, the Lawnmower 4.0. This trimmer is the future of grooming and, dare I say, the greatest ball trimmer ever. Their fourth-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof and also has a 400,000 LED spotlight in case you need a more precise shave. Listen, you definitely need that, because if you haven't tried to use your regular trimmer to shave your balls, you get that pinch, it is not good, boys. It is not good. So listen, because this trimmer is waterproof, you can also say goodbye to the mess on the bathroom floor. All right, you guys are gross if you guys are leaving messes on the bathroom floor. You thought that was good, but want to take your grooming game even further to the next level. Take it there. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps reduce snags, nicks, and tugs in those delicate nose holes. Their Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner will change the way you approach your hygiene routine. Trust me when I say this, fellas, your ball will thank you. Listen, as a golf guy in Florida, ball deodorant to me sounds like a winner. I could definitely use it after playing anytime after April. Listen, Manscaped even throws in a couple few gifts for you in their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boss Boxers, and the Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. It's time to take care of yourself. So go to manscaped.com and get 20% off plus free shipping with promo code SGP. Whew, that was a long read.
Thanks for the drive-by shooting, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome.
Asshole.
I just do it to see if you're paying attention during my ad reads.
Well, that caught my attention. All right, Torrey Pines. So before I get into it, let me say something. I'm not going to go negative on this place. I have for years.
Right.
You guys know how I feel about it. There's no reason to rehash what I hope would be done with this place, what I think about it. It is what it is. So let's kick it off first. Boston Capper, what do you like about this place? And don't say John Rahm. Go.
Don't say John Rahm. Fine. I think I just like it because it's a tougher golf course. I mean, really, that's it. You're right. Aesthetically on TV, it looks like shit. It's kind of monotonous, right? It's the same hole over and over and over again. But whatever. Like, I don't know. I do like it because it's difficult. It's not a fucking birdie fest. I always feel like the fields here are stacked. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, and I do think there's something to be said, you know, even if the hole is, you need the same traits for multiple holes. Repeating the same action for 4 days is something you should be rewarded for, right? Because golf should be a game of consistency. And there you go. I mean, that's kind of why I like it.
Okay. All right. That's a nice summary of defending Torrey Pines, I guess. So,
yeah, whatever. I'm not going to like defend it. Like, it is.
No, I know last year, I think you said, like, this is so great. And you were just doing needle me.
Yeah,
I was. You knew it. You knew it was going to drive me nuts.
Yes.
All right.
This is what I do, Steve.
Right. That is what you do. Anyways. So if you go to my article, it got posted tonight. I go a little bit into the background about the South course. I talk a little bit about the North course, too, but I'm just going to focus on the South course. And I'm just going to focus on what recent changes were done with it. Just as a reminder, we talked about this last year for the U.S. Open, some of the things that were done to it. And then I'm going to also talk about just some differences between the U.S. Open setup and what this is going to be. So let's talk about some changes first. So Reese Jones came in. He basically renovated the place in 2000 to make a U.S. Open ready. They brought him back in before the 2021 event because at this point, where all the fairway bunkers were, guys were just going to be able to hit over it. So all he really did was just push him out. basically into the driving zone. So most of these bunkers are going to be about 280, 290, 300, 310 to carry off the tee. So there's not many guys in the field that can do that. So basically, the attempt was to put more of a premium on hitting the fairway. They also added a couple of new tee boxes. They added a collection area, a totally tightly mowed area behind the ninth green, which actually I kind of dug. That was pretty cool. But other than that, though, I mean, the biggest story is, like I just mentioned, the fairway bunkers. Not only did they move them out, they moved them closer to the fairway. So before, if a ball would trickle into the, you know, just off the fairway, just would end up in the intermediate rough, which isn't too penal. I mean, you still get a club on it, but now the fairway basically creeps into the bunkers and the ball's going to roll in. So there's a little less room for error off the tee, because if it rolls off the fairway, it's going to probably go into a bunker, and you don't really want to be in these bunkers. They're really deep. Some of them are puzzle pieces, so they're kind of like oddly shaped. You saw that a little bit at the US Open last year, where, you know, a ball would roll into the bunker and it would be behind like a little bit of like a jutted piece of soil, mm-hmm. like in there. Like, you don't want to be in there, especially with how long this golf course is. It's a lot of really long approach shots from these bunkers. Like, you're probably missing the green again. So, you know, while it basically did its intended function of increasing the need to be in the fairway. Overall, though, like, that always was a trade at Torrey Pines. Like, it's got really thick rough. It's really long. It's only 28-yard wide fairways. The average driving accuracy percentage is well below PGA Tour average. So anybody there is going to probably do pretty well. And especially for a shorter player, like, if you're not finding fairways, you are in for a very long day, because it's thick ryegrass rough. Ball, it's hard to get a club on the ball. You're not getting any spin out of it. These are really small greens. You're probably going to be missing a ton of greens. So unless you are a short game wizard and really a putter, if you're missing fairways, you're in for a long day. Yeah. So, you know, basically, so who's does this favor? Well, I mean, guys who love to hit drivers, you know, and guys who love to just see like where everything is out in front of them. There's really no tricks to this place. You basically pick your line. And he just hit it there. You know, long and straight is very key to Torrey Pines. That's not breaking news. And the guys who have a little bit faster club head speed, they can get a higher, more controlled ball flight to the green because they're using shorter clubs. And they can better gouge out of the rough in order to do it. So, you know, as far as like differences between the U.S. Open and the Farmers Insurance Open, a big one is agronomy. So in the summer, naturally Torrey Pines is Bermuda with Kikuyu fairways. This time of year, though, it's a little cooler. They have to overseed everything. So it's overseeded rye in the fairways, overseeded rye in the rough. You know, it makes it a little easier to get your club face on the ball in out of the rye rough, because sometimes the ball can sit up, whereas if it's in Kikuyu, it's going to sit right to the bottom. Yeah. But still 3 inches. Like, it's still pretty thick and gnarly. You don't really want to be there. And then the last big change is that the green speeds. So for the U.S. Open, it ran about 13.5 on the SIP meter. Farmers Insurance is going to run a little slower. That probably about 12.5. That's still pretty fast. That's, you know, especially because it's on POA too. Like, these are tough greens to putt on. We'll talk about that a little bit, a little bit later. But, you know, these are really small greens. They got they're basically in quadrants too. You know, you're familiar with that. I think one time we were talking about a podcast about the quadrant greens and you're just like, oh, well, you know, I'm screwed.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like, so just overall, this is a long, demanding tee to green golf course, going to play over 7,600 yards. Everything's right on front of you. You know, you got to do a lot of things well there. We've seen this before. We're very familiar with this place. There's not really, you know, there's not many, too many tricks that, you know, this thing's going to throw at you. So, Jimmy, questions about, like, you know, before we start getting the betting strategies?
No, I mean, I think I got it down as far as. It's POA. Is it POA on both? I don't think it's POA on both courses, though, right? Did you tell me last year?
So the North Course is bent grass.
Okay. So, yeah, whatever. Like, I remember you got to go low and crush that course the one day you play it.
And looking at the weather report, too. So last year they got those crazy winds on Friday that kind of ruined everything. Mm-hmm. Doesn't look like wind's going to be really a big factor this week. It's probably going to be very nice scoring conditions.
And so since it's overseeded rye, we're not looking at like a like really sticky rough then.
No, it isn't. So I mean, it's okay. Thick, but it's right. Not.
But it's not sticky like the normal Kikuyu. Right?
No, and I don't think the golf course has gotten a whole lot of rain either. So the balls are probably gonna, because Kikuyu, it's a very grabby grass. Mm-hmm. Ryegrass, it runs a little more, so it might play kind of firm, which is actually nice. Sometimes you get a lot of rain, it plays soft. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that'll help some of the shorter hitters out if you get
right. Fine. Yeah, it will. But I mean, overall, though. There's really not much to say about this place. But I think something that's interesting, we'll talk about after we do a quick ad break, is driving distance might be a little overrated this place. I dig a little bit into the data, and I came up with some interesting results. So why don't we take our break, and then we'll get into it.
All right. Well, listen, Prop Swap is where America buys and sells sports bets. The NFL playoffs are in full swing, and prop swappers are cashing in. Like Will from Arizona, who on Sunday night sold his $50, 100-1, 49 Super Bowl ticket for $500 on Prop Swap. Will locked in his profit when he turned his $50 bet into $500. The buyer got great odds, and the seller made 10 times his bet. PropSwap has thousands of buyers across the country, so you'll always find the best odds and collect the most money for your bet. So hurry up and download the free PropSwap app today. PropSwap has fantastic features like filtered listed tickets based on the best value, a free activity fee to stay in the know for all the big sales and when red-hot tickets go on sale, a loyalty rewards program that turns your ticket sales into extra bonus cash, and a first deposit cash match. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match your deposit up to $500. Join the real sports bettors on PropSwap. This is where America buys and sells sports bets.
All right. Let's talk about betting strategy. So there's a couple of things I like looking at every week, you know, on data golf. There's this relative skill set chart that basically shows the golf course, like what attributes it favors. There's, you know, the approach shot distances, you know, where guys can approach us from. And if you look at those two graphs, basically, and I posted both in the article. The most predictive measurement of success at Torrey Pines is driving distance. Guys who hit it the farthest have the fastest club head speed. When they step up to the first tee, automatically are at an advantageous position just because it's 7,600 yards. It's tough to hit fairways there, which means if you're hitting out of the rough, you know, you have a lot of longer approach shots out of there, and it's easier to dig a shorter iron out of it than a Zach Johnson, who might have to use a 5-iron. Mm-hmm. He's not getting out. He's basically has to hack out. So, so driving distance is the most predictive statistic towards success there. Okay. And you can also see it basically in the approach shot distances. So 75% of all your approach shots at Torrey Pines, and by the way, this is the South course only. I'm not going to focus on the North course. It is what it is. Yeah, I'm not concerned. So 3 or 4 rounds are at the South course. That's what the discussion is going to be. So on the South course, 75% of all your shots are coming from 150 yards or above, and 55% of them come from 175 and up. You are hitting a ton of longer approach shots into these greens. Yep. And if you're somebody who is hitting a lot of the rough out of a lot of them, you're going to miss a lot of greens. You're going to be getting up and down for par. Not going to have a lot of birdie opportunities. You got to capitalize when you do. And basically, just those two metrics right there say, okay, it's a bomber. But here's the thing, though. Like, just loading up on bombers, like that's what everybody's going to do this week. Everybody's going to have this same lean. Well, you got to have length. You're going to have to hit it far. They're going to ignore pretty much anybody who hits it under 300, pretty much. But that's not really a great thing. Like, for example, like, Cam Champ, if it really was only about length, Cam Champ would be great here. He's not. He's bad here.
Sure.
And well, the reason why, though, is you can't just have length here. Like, you have to do a lot of things well. Like, there's a lot of different situations you're going to find yourself on, and basically the same hole. Like, you're going to be in, have a bad lie. You're going to have a good lie. You're going to hit the fairway. Like, you're going to be playing from off the green. You're playing from bunkers. Like, and they're from really longer, you know, distances. Like, it's, you still can't really fake your way out here, like, just bombing around. Like, you remember last year with Matthew Wolf? Like, I know he was going through his crap, but, like,
yeah, it was a nightmare.
He drove the ball, like, ass.
Yeah.
And he got punished accordingly for it. Like, he was put himself in bad situations and bunkers. Like, I made the mistake of saying, well, yeah, he's gonna, you know, bomb it everywhere and driving distance is all that matters. And I load up a Matthew Wolf and he withdrew up for the first day, saying a hand injury. So, and you kind of saw it last year with Bryson too. Like, yeah, like everything was going great until it wasn't, and he completely fell apart because Bryson doesn't have a good backup plan on anything. Basically, if he's not driving it well, like there's nothing else he can go to the, like, to the bag for. And that's kind of why, like, when you look at guys with success at Torrey Pines, it's not just the bombers. It's the guys that do a lot of things really well. Yes, length does matter. Length matters at every single golf course. But, like that's why John Rahm is so good here. Like, I wouldn't say John Rahm is elite in any category. Like, I can't look at John Rahm and say, like, you're definitively the best at what you do in, like, driving or, like, yeah, iron play. But he's really good at all of them. And when something goes wrong, like, let's say he's not driving the ball all that great. He's not making a lot of greens. Well, he can get up and down for par, and he's a good putter. Okay? Like, same thing with, like, a Xander Schauffele. There's a lot of things he does really well. He's not necessarily elite at one thing, but he's really good at a lot of things. And then you look at some of the guys who don't have good driving distances, like, and they're outlawed, like Brant Snedeker, who's won here twice. Patrick Reed, who won last year.
Last year, yeah.
Like, even Mark Leishman, like, he's above average length, but you wouldn't call him a bomber. And when he won, he was missing every single fairway. So why did they win? Well, it's because
he's a good scrambler.
Yeah, they're good scramblers and they're really good putters. And this is a situation, a golf course in a tournament where a lot of people are missing fairways and a lot of people are missing greens. And their deficiencies with ball striking kind of get muted. Now, like Patrick Reed last year, I went back and looked. Like, at least Snedeker is a really accurate player. I'll see. Patrick Reed's not accurate, but he actually had a fantastic drive week. I think he was fifth in driving accuracy all week. Like, it is what it is. But, like, even so, anytime he was off the green, he was able to get up and down. And I forgot that he won by 5 last year. He blew everybody out, despite the fact he cheated. But even if he got penalized, it wouldn't have mattered. He would be over by 5. So, you know, and I think another thing that was interesting when I looked at it too is there's also another tool on DataGolf that it's in a different page that they don't really update anymore, but it's useful. It basically is a chart that shows what drives the variance in scoring on the leaderboard. Like, how do you separate yourself? And funny enough, like strokes gained off the tee, there's not much of a separation between the top guys and the bottom guys. Like, it kind of is what it is for everybody. It's, you know, the tour average is about 15%, like, as far as, like, the variance. Like, this is only 10. But putting, though, is a huge variance. There is a huge variance between the guys who do really well and do really poorly at Torrey Pines based on how you do the greens. It kind of suggests this is actually a putting contest, which is bizarre to me. It's not a driving
putting contest. I think it's who's comfortable on POA. Like, I've never played on POA. So the way you would describe it to me sounds like a fucking nightmare. There's, like, shit that pops up and grows during the day. You know what I mean? So it's not like,
that could cause it. What I'm just saying, though, is that there is a much greater disparity between it's easier for you to separate from the field if you have a really good putting day versus if you're just driving it really well, you're still not separating yourself. And I think the reason why is, first of all, everyone's kind of no one's really hitting a whole lot of fairways. It just in general, you aren't. But DataGolf also went into, like, what's the actual penalty between, like, your average score on a par 4, par 5, if you hit the fairway versus if you didn't. It's only about a 0.3 stroke difference, which actually is the 10th, like, least penal golf course.
That's way less.
Well, I mean, think about it. So there's no hazards off the tee.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, you're just hitting into rough. I mean, I think that's one way to really describe it. It's odd though. Like, you hear about, like, oh, you know, you got to keep in the fairway, and really there's not that much of a difference.
Okay.
But the greens are really tough to putt on. You kind of just mentioned, not only do people have to, you know, contend with the POA, but they're fast. They're on different quadrants. If you're on the wrong quadrant, it's going to be hard to, you know, make it two putt. Yeah. So Torrey Pines South last year was the third most difficult surface to putt on from under 5 feet last year. Cool. And it was the most difficult one between 5 and 15 feet. You got bumpy greens, fast greens. Poe is not an easy surface to putt on. So it kind of makes me think that, like, yeah, like, obviously, if a guy has length, that's an advantage. But for me this week, and maybe this is something that will be able to help people be unique and maybe make some interesting pivots, like, I think I'm going to value short game and putting a little more this week, more than I usually do at this place. Usually, like, I just go and just, like, all right, just driving distance. I don't want anybody who's a short knocker, I'm just going to automatically discount him. And I'm not going to do that this year. I think I'm going to weigh a little heavier more just around the green game and putting, because that seems like, if you just go through the guys who have won, Rahm, Leishman, Snedeker, Reed, Jason Day.
Yeah.
All those guys are really good around the greens.
Was that was a Day was like at his peak though, correct?
Day's won this like twice though. So like I guess I know he was at his peak, but like what do you know about Jason Day? He's lofty, but he is a really good short game. He's a really good putter.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's kind of like John Rahm. John's really good off the tee. He's got a really good short game. He got a really good putter. So I think I'm not gonna just immediately discount like some of the shorter guys. Like, yeah, like they have to do well, and yes, like they have to hit fairways. If they're not, they're gonna be screwed. But if you get a shorter guy who hits a lot of fairways and they're just really good on and around the green, like, you know, maybe that might reveal themselves as like, you know, like a low like price like DraftKings guy or like somebody you want to get like a top 20, top 10 bet on. So
gotcha.
All right. Why don't we take one more break, and then we'll close the show with a couple more stats.
All right, sounds good. Well, listen, better fantasy. The fantasy season may be over, but the action is still coming on the Better Fantasy app. Download their free-to-play app today and bet on the player props for the NFL playoffs. You can also enter their player prop pools and score big when you win. We love Better Fantasy because you can win awesome prizes and even raise some money for charity along the way too. It's totally free to play, and you'll earn better credits by completing challenges and use them to place your bets. Better Fantasy is available worldwide and in all 50 states. So download the app today over at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's betterfantasy.com/SGPN. And listen, when did sports betting become so rigid? Betting is meant to be social. When I picture betting, I picture bootleggers with mustaches tossing bets around in a speakeasy. SoBet is taking the social lineage of betting and putting a modern twist on it by providing a modern platform. SoBet is changing the game with their new product. Head over to SoBet.io and create an account to see for yourself through their fully functioning and free web application. You can access their demo of their app that will launch next fall. The app includes consensus lines from Vegas, a feed of what people are betting on, and the ability to send friendly wagers to anyone you know via text, QR codes, and links, among other methods. No money is transacted on the app and is purely competitive. So next time you're with your friends watching sports, turn the dial up a notch and go to SoBet.io and see you can hit the most ridiculous bets. Users have the ability to place bets off Vegas odds and generate a bet by changing any metric they want, as long as somebody on the other side is willing to accept. So let's go back to the roots of betting with SoBet. Go to SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SoBet.io/SGPN today to join the revolution.
Okay. Good thing I was on mute, because that was Western New York just screaming delight right then.
Yeah, I know. I was catching out of the corner of my eye.
Yeah, I know. Awesome. I know. You're not happy. But you know what? It's 2 minutes and you got Patrick Mahomes, so we'll see.
Exactly.
All right, and this show will end before the game ends. So, all right, yeah. Just quickly going over the top guys in strokes gained per round is Torrey Pines South. John Rahm, 2.43 in 19 rounds. Brant Snedeker, Justin Thomas, Tony Finau, Xander Schauffele. Adam Svensson, it's only three rounds, though, so I don't really put much stock to Patrick Reed. Matt McNealy is surprisingly good here. And that's what I kind of wanted to, like, focus on. Like, that's another guy, like, you know, like, he's got okay length, but he's not that all the great of an iron player, but he's a great scrambler, great putter, especially on West Coast POA. So, yeah, there's that. And then Hideki Matsuyama. Like, all those guys I just mentioned, like, they do a lot of things pretty well. They're not necessarily, like, elite in one skill set, but if something goes wrong, they have a backup plan. Like, I can't say that about, like, a Bryson. Like, I can say that about, like, a Xander, though. Like, just if something just isn't clicking, there's something else he can bank on. So, yeah, I think those are the type of guys I'm going to be looking for this week. So, I know.
You hear my dog?
That's the Bills dogs barking.
Yeah, I don't know why they're barking. No idea.
All right, you got anything else, or you want to close the show?
Nah, that's it, man. We can close it out. So we got this is only teasing, man. So we got Andy coming on the podcast tomorrow.
Andy Lack, not just Andy.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah, Andy Lack. We have Andy Lack on the podcast tomorrow. He'll be down. I know he's gonna be at Torrey. I know he's played there, been there a bunch of times. So we can get some good insight from Andy Lack. And other than that, go read Steve's article. I even read it today early because I already had to figure out how to make up my money from this fucking goddamn tournament. So yeah, you know where to find Steve on the Slack channel. You know where to find me, Boston_Capper on Twitter. So listen, let's break these fucking books, baby. Let's go.